Hello and welcome to this episode of the Plasticology Project podcast. As always, it is fantastic to have you along. If you are new around here, the Plasticology Project podcast is all about showcasing solutions to the plastic pollution challenges facing our world. And of course, if you are a regular, welcome back. It is a pleasure to have you here as always. Now, without wasting any further time, let's get straight into this episode. This month, the Plasticology Project book celebrates its first birthday. So I'm giving everybody a free ebook version. All you have to do is go to the website www.docpjharvey.com and look for the book tab. Fill in the pop-up and you'll get your e-copy for free. That's right, absolutely free. It's my gift to you. So jump on there, grab your copy, and happy reading. On this episode of the Plasticology Project podcast, we hear from Associate Professor Chenyan Dong. Associate Professor Dong is an environmental and public health researcher at the South China Institute of Environmental Science, based within the China Ministry of Ecology and Environment. Chenyan's work currently focuses on understanding chemicals used in plastic manufacturing and what impact this has on human health exposure further down the line. Speaking with Chenyan, it is fascinating to learn just exactly what we don't yet know about chemicals used in plastic, and what research driven by the Chinese government is attempting to find out about these chemicals and pollutants. Chenyan, first of all, thanks for joining me on the Plasticology Project podcast. Could you introduce yourself and tell the listeners what it is that you do?
Okay, thank you for your invitation, Paul, and I'm very glad to be the guest of your post. Actually, I'm looking at microplastic addictives, and is their toxicology. And actually, I'm involved in a big project where, as we know, and there are a lot of plastic addictives, and maybe over 10,000 kinds of the additives. And so how we examine the toxicology of these chemicals. And so if we only do the animal experiments, I think it's very, it wastes a lot of time and it's also very costly. And so we are trying to use some models and to predict the these chemicals toxicology. So that's what we want to do. And that's the main aim of our this project. At the end of this project, we want to establish a database for these plastic additives. And you can search the toxicology of these chemicals. And then you can use it for the environmental management or something else.
So Chenyan, how did you get involved in this line of research to start with, looking at plastic additives? Was there a gap in the research that you identified that really caught your attention and said, this needs to be answered?
Oh, actually, this project was supported by the Chinese government. And in the recent years, China government has already paid more and more attention on the emerging chemicals. And as we know, as the plastic additives, there are a lot of them. They are the new emerging chemicals. So that's why we look at the plastic additives. So we want to establish this database. And as far as we know, there is no database in the, internationally, as far as we know. Yeah, that's what we want to do.
Yeah, certainly as far as I know as well, I'm not aware of a database that that quantifies or identifies those plastic additives. And it makes me think there are so many different types of plastic and so many different varieties of plastic and indeed chemicals and additives in those plastics. How do you foresee that you'll be able to identify them all in order to develop that database?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good question. And actually, what we want to do is, we mainly focus on the plastic products. And we will search for, firstly, through the production, and we will search the relevant documents, what kind of additives will be added into the plastic products. That's the first step. And then the second, and we will go to do the literature review and to find out what kind of plastic products was mainly used in China. And so we will focus on the selected plastic, plastic products and to do the use like the LC mass, and we will go to check what kind of additives existed in the plastic products. And we will use like the advanced technology and to do the test.
Okay, so that sounds like a fairly long and involved process, and you're using some fairly complex analytical tools and equipment there. Maybe if you could share with the audience in very simple terms what some of those tools and techniques that you might be using to help solve these plastic additive conundrums that help you identify what's what and what their problems might be in the long term.
Okay, and I think the first step, we are going to extract the additives from the plastic, and then we will put the then the additives will be dissolved in the dilution, and then we will use the dilution to put in the equipment named LC mass, and then we will can examine the what kind of additives has already been extracted from the plastic products. And so we can determine the kinds of the plastic additives.
So with this research, what do you see to be the end outcome of it? I mean, obviously, you're going to develop a database of chemical additives, but what do you really see to be the long-term so what factor, I guess, for the research? Is it a public health based approach that you're taking, or a public health focus that you're taking to give it that so what factor?
Okay, I think the value of this project, the first one is like you said, and the first aim is to establish the first database for the plastic addictives toxicology, and that's the first aim, the first value. And the second one, and we think after we get the as we know, if we want to do like the environmental health exposure risk assessment, and actually the toxicological values is very important for our evaluation. Because as the new emerging chemicals, if we don't have the toxicological values and we can't do the exposure risk assessment, then we don't know how to do environmental management for these chemicals. And so when we get these values, and it will be very helpful for our further environmental management and exposure risk assessment. And I think that's the second value.
And that takes me to a question now. Why do we need to have these toxicological data? What is driving this need to understand that?
Okay, I think the driver is that, and the way for the China government, and the aim is to protect the public health. And so let's go back to the exposure risk assessment and why it's so important. I think firstly, there are a lot of standards. When they when these standards were established, the base is to protect the public health. So if we want to get this standard, when we establish these standards, and we need to do the exposure risk assessment. So that means we need the toxicology values. For example, and there is a factory, and but it has already been closed, and the brown field will be sold and may be built for the business market or the shopping mall like that. Before that, we need to do the exposure risk assessment, and we need to evaluate whether it's suitable to sold out directly or remediated after, or sold out after the remediation. So as under this case, and I think it's very important way to do we get the toxicology values. And when we get these values, and we can know how about the public health risk in this field and for these plastic additives, for example. And then we know whether we should do the remediation for the brown field or not. Yeah.
So this is really interesting. Are you talking, when you say the contamination of these brownfield sites, so those that aren't familiar with that terminology, a brownfield is a site that has already had a previous industry or trade activities occurring on it, and we refer to it as being a brownfield because it indicates that there may be a contamination there, as opposed to a greenfield, which is unimpacted virgin land. But are you talking, when you say the contamination of these, about the plastic particles themselves? Or are you talking about the chemicals, gases, and to use your words, the additives contaminating these soils and waters and plants in the chemical phase rather than the particle and hard plastic phase?
Yep, that's right. And actually, currently we are mainly focusing on the chemicals in the plastic products or during the production, and maybe there are some chemicals released into the environment, and that's what we focus on, and that's what we are looking at. And for the plastic particles themselves, and currently we are not looking at them.
So Chinyin, this is actually quite cutting edge research, and I know I've said this before, but you are looking at something that almost nobody else is looking at. You're looking at the chemistry behind plastic pollution, not just the physical presence of plastic being a problem. And this is where this research becomes very interesting to me, because it steps away from going out onto the beach and counting plastic straws or plastic bottles or plastic particles in microplastic phases. It is looking deeper at the chemistry of the plastic and trying to understand what the environmental impact and ultimately the human health impact of plastic, either when it's been manufactured and there's the spillover of chemicals used during manufacture, or yeah, the degradation and the breakdown phases at the back end.
That's right.
Because of that, this new area of discovery, I foresee this to create, this to open many doorways for environmental practitioners and public health practitioners. Once there is an understanding of what these additives are, and once that toxicological data is there, because all of a sudden we're understanding what the health impacts are at that chemistry level. Do you think that the work that you're doing will be adopted in other jurisdictions globally, i.e. Australia and the US and Europe? Or do you think that it might be a little bit too much too soon, given that a lot of the focus still is really just around counting plastic particles at the beach or in the river?
Well, actually, I think that's a good question. And within project, and actually what we're also doing another thing is that just like you referred, and there are many research still focus on counting the plastic particles numbers for like that. And we are also doing another thing is that we will build different scenarios. For example, using the different particle size, using the plastic particles with a different grain size, or you know, maybe there are some particles from the agriculture, and we use different plastic particles to do the extraction test, and we will go to see what kind of additives will be extracted from the different kinds of the plastic particle size. And I think like the counting the plastic particle size is still minimal. I think it still can provide the basic number, the basic data.
Given that your work is at the moment focused mainly on Chinese production of plastics and plastics that have an origin in China, given that there are other producers around the world, do you see that your work will be able to extend into other jurisdictions and you'll be able to catalog those additives in other jurisdictions, and not just those that are contemporary plastics, but also those that have been developed and manufactured through history? Because of course they have a different composition, chemical composition as well. Is that going to be captured in your scope of work?
For this project, and we can't do all the plastic products. And then a very important step is to select what kind of plastic products we should focus on. And after discussion with the experts, and we are now still looking at the products rather than the production, because just like you referred, and the like the factories, is there are a lot of factories, and maybe it's very China is still very big, and there are a lot of plastic factories. So we can't involve all the factories. So that's the reason why we only focus on the products, because we don't want to be bothered by which factory can produce this kind of products. And we just focus on the products you mainly use in the market. And so maybe it's easier to complete this project.
Yeah, of course, retail consumer market of plastic is a big one. And so that's a sensible place to start. Because if you can stop some of the, or understand, first of all, the plastic additives, and then mount an argument for potentially reducing some of those plastics in even just a consumer retail setting, that goes a long way to reducing the environmental burden of plastics.
Yeah, like you said, and because like the plastic, and they also have the different usages, and maybe some for the agriculture and some for like the food container and something else. And so we will select the main products, plastic products, according to our daily life. And so based on that, and we can select the classical plastic products and to examine the additives.
Chen-Yin, do you have any idea at the moment, again, given that it's early days in this research, what some of those additives are and what some of the health effects are?
Okay, actually for the plastic additives, and there are main four kinds of plastic additives. And One is the flame retardant, and the second one is additives to make the plastic more soft and more extensive. And the other one is like the PFAS. The fourth one, I can't remember clearly.
So we've got the heat tolerance. We've got the malleability or the softening. Those chemicals that make it easier to make and hard for the plastic to disappear. We've got others that have flame and fire prevention. And I assume probably some other stabilizers in there and colorants and other bits and pieces as well. Speak to me a little bit about those additives that as an environmental chemist and a public health scientist, you have a fairly good understanding, I'm sure, around fire retardants, for example, or the endocrine disrupting chemicals that are present in those plastics. So if you could share a little bit about the health impacts of some of those chemicals, both in what you've seen in animal studies, but also more broadly in human health studies, that'd be really good.
Okay. As far as we know, and like these kind of additives and the main, according to the currently available epidemiological studies, and I think the toxicology is mainly focused on like it will disturb the endocrine system. I think that's the main toxicology of these additives. And also there are some researchers, they also to test like the spring of the toxicology and the liver toxicology and something else. Yeah, it's very wide abroad, and I think the influence for on the human health can't be neglected.
So it sounds to me as though there still needs to be a lot of work, really, in understanding the impact that these chemicals could potentially have on the human body and I suppose the environment more broadly. There's still work to be done in that space.
That's right. I think it's still a long way to understand the toxicology of the plastic additives. And just like we referred before, and because there are a lot of new emerging plastic additives. So under this case, and there are still a lot of chemicals we don't understand how they impact the human health and how it works in the human body. So that's actually in the US, in the States, they've already started a program in the 2007. And that program aims to evaluate the toxicology of the new emerging chemicals using an advanced technology. And they invented an equipment, a system, and they can test a lot of new emerging chemicals toxicology at the same time. And because as traditionally, and the way for the each batch, and we can only test one chemical. But if we are using that system, and maybe we can test like 1,000 chemicals at the same time. So it will speed up, the test will be speed up a lot, I think. For example, and if we only focus on like the liver toxicology, and we can traditionally only test the liver cells. But if we are using that system, and we can put the different human cells in that system, and we can test for, if we only focus one chemical, and then we can go to test the toxicology on the different human health at the same time, liver, brain, or something else. Yeah, it will be speed up, and that's what we are doing now.
That actually, Chenyun, raises a very interesting point and question that I was going to ask you, and that relates to the multiple chemicals or multiple compound argument that we are starting to see now emerge from public health scientists and in environmental chemists and the like. And the general discussion around that is that, well, yes, we can test for one chemical or one compound or one pollutant. What is happening when we combine multiple and in different environmental settings? And it sounds like you've already put your mind to that and will be considering that through your research.
Oh, actually, yeah, I think I think this question is very good. And actually, how to solve the joint effects of the multiple chemicals exposed on human health, I think it's very hard. And I think for the researchers, and they are still trying to find out the proper way and to separate it out. And because as we know, and when different chemicals exposed to human and how they impact the human health together, it's still very hard. And of course, we can use some statistical analysis or the animal test and to do the joint effects. But if we want to evaluate contribution of different chemicals, I think it's still very hard.
So Chenyun, we've spoken a lot now about the challenges and the complexities of identifying these chemicals and understanding what they're doing in the natural world and then in the human body. In light of all of that, do you think that we are doing enough to reduce the plastic pollution burden globally?
Oh, actually, I think for our daily life, and we can use for example, if we go to the market, and maybe we can use the we can use the bags rather than the plastic bags. Yeah, I think there are a lot of to do in our daily life, and for example, like the water bottle, and maybe we can recycle and put them in the recycle bin, and they can use another cycle life to reduce the emission of the plastics.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can see on the desk behind you there, there's a few reusable water bottles and so on. So it's great to see that people are hearing that message, particularly in the when you're working on these types of topics. Chenyun, it's been great having a chat with you and learning about your research. Is there anything that you wanted to share with listeners that we haven't yet already covered?
Oh, yes. Thank you for your invitation. I think that's my talk. Thank you for your invitation.
Well, Associate Professor Dong, thank you for sharing your research and speaking to us today on the Plasticology Project podcast. I look forward to seeing the outcome of your research as it starts to filter through, and I'm sure it will be hugely impactful both in China and globally as we start to learn more and more about the chemicals that are within plastic and also what those impacts or what the impacts of those chemicals might be on the environment and human health. I think over the next 5 to 10 years, the research that you're doing now is going to have a very, very important role in the decision making and policy making conversations at the global scale. So well done on getting in there and contributing to this very important field of research.
Thank you. Thank you for your call.
This has been another episode of the Plasticology Project podcast. Thanks for listening.